The Wisp Turlington Show.
This is Alec Baldwin.
Hello, kiddies. This is Alice Cooper.
Hey, yo, Hulk Hogan here.
Hello, this is Angus Young and...
Brian Johnson of AC/DC.
Hi, this is Tom Johnston.
And Pat Simmons.
Of the Doobie Brothers.
Hi, this is John Mellencamp.
Hey, what's up? This is Ryan from Drowning Pool.
Hi, this is Steven Tyler from Aerosmith.
Yeah, this is Cocaine Steve from Cocaine Steve and the Queefs. And you're listening to the Wisp Turlington Show.
Wisp Turlington.
Do I make you horny, baby?
Jeff the Angry Man Garlock.
Do I make you randy?
Greg Lemonsour.
Come again.
Art Spart.
Sex? Yes, please.
If you hear these names, you know you're listening to the Wisp Turlington Show. Only on 108.9 The Hawk. 6:03 on 108.9 The Hawk. And Scotty, our producer in the booth over there right behind the glass. You know, Scotty, I know we were talking about shortening the Wisp Turlington Show open.
And
because,
thank you for that, Scotty. Yeah. That is a nice, nice regular length for the morning.
But the clips, Scotty. I
good
said,
amount
know,
of clips, Scotty,
you thought it was
by
the
way.
Amount?
It felt right. It also felt
Mike
like
Myers.
I heard my name clear.
You did.
And crystal. It was just like, I was like, oh, there I am. I'm
there
a member of this team again. Thank you.
I was just a little, there's a little thing I gotta stick on this, Scotty. I said, if we're going to use clips, we can use them for three movies. Dazed and Confused, Twister, Titanic. That seems to be just the Austin Powers stuff.
It was a fair amount of Austin Powers. I won't lie. I did notice a lot of Austin. Unless he shows up in Twister. I haven't watched it in a while.
He could. I do. They're
maybe he's on
it.
The
it's
cow. Is he riding on the cow saying, do I make you horny,
he's,
cow?
He's riding the cow, and then you just hear this.
Do I make you randy?
Oh, yes.
Gotta love Twister.
You gotta love Twister. It is 6:04 right here on 108.9 The Hawk. We're just getting juiced up, baby. Wake up, Val Verde. I know you're out there. You're probably waking up, going to your really, really sad job. And you need us to cheer you up. And that's exactly what we're going to do. We got a great guest coming in just a second. Jeff, I'm very excited. He's an old friend of the show. And
I've been here before many times. And
we're saying it's not Skeet Ulrich.
It is not
Skeet. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour.
He's been waiting out there, though. You know, I woke up on the couch because I slept here again because I had to do the late night as well.
Yeah.
And I woke up at 4:45 because I had to take a Clydesdale-style pee.
Uh-huh.
And that Skeet was hanging out on my couch when I got out of the bathroom.
He was ready to go.
He was ready to go.
I can't wait to do the 6 o'clock hour. And you're like, well, Skeet, you're coming up at 9.
You got a little time, Skeet. But
oh, my God. I do have one thing I got to harp on here again, too. We're not talking the Austin Powers clips. I'm sorry, Scotty. The Val Verde rag headline, I don't know if you saw it this morning. Jeff, the old gray lady got me.
What's the old gray lady doing nowadays?
The headline is, has that old bastard Wisp Turlington gone mellow by Steve Lust and Vanessa Creeve?
Oh, wow.
It must be new. I don't know these writers.
That's gotcha journalism right there.
I think that is a little bit of gotcha journalism.
That's a gotcha journalism headline. Yeah.
Has the old bastard gone mellow?
I mean, like I said, I do appreciate hearing my name crystal clear in the beginning.
Right.
Of the podcast. So I guess that might be my answer. Does that feel mellow to you? You also have not
that
admonished
is a non-answer.
Me yet.
That is a non-answer. We've done this long enough. I thought I could get some truth.
My old friend
John Lennon said, give me some truth.
That is true. He did say that all the time, too.
Yes.
That was my favorite part of
Get
That.
That was his catchphrase.
Oh,
when
my
he did
God,
his
he
tight
was
five at the improv.
On his tight five. But he always does it in like a goon's accent. Like he's always doing like
you
like,
know that. Oh, that is humor right there.
That is humor.
6:05, 108.9 The Hawk. And let's get right to it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you know two things in Val Verde, you know hot tubs, you know hot sauce, and the man that gives both of them to you, the one, the only, Trip Larson. Welcome to the Wisp Turlington Show. Welcome back, I should say.
Hey, everybody.
Buddy. Wow.
Excited to be here. Really excited because, you know what? I want to tell you this much.
Yeah.
I know you're upset about that newspaper article.
I'm a little
pissed. I read it. You know, but in the words of Dr. Evil, cut me some slack. You know, throw me a frickin' bone, right?
A frickin' bone over here.
And Scotty, maybe Steve put that clip in the next one there.
Yeah. Scotty, could you get that rally? Okay, well, good.
I'm going to tell you something about that newspaper. It's a scam. It's a straight-up scam. I'll tell you, I've been putting ads in there since, God knows, 1992.
Yeah.
And you know, I just get a full page spread in there for, you know, a couple hundred bucks. Yeah. Now they want you to give me like a half-page spread for $2,000. What about being a loyal customer? What about being, nice in this economy? They've got their heads up their butts.
I tell you, the old gray lady not looking out for the small businessman in Valverde.
You gotta. I mean, because times are tough, and you know what? And we gotta all work together, and we all gotta relax. And that's really,
this economy, you should be getting two pages for the price of one. You should have one page just for the hot tub, one for the hot sauce, if you know what I mean.
I'll tell you, yeah.
Frankie says relax, and so does Trip Larson.
I do. Here's the thing, guys. I do this. They always say, make your hobby your job, right? That is what I was when I was 1990. Well, I think it was actually 1990. I was out back. My friend had one of those. Great year.
Oh man,
great year. Before all this other stuff came into the mix, you know, this is a time where you could have a Steven Seagal movie in the theater and people would be talking about it.
We want you to come back from Russia as soon as possible, Stephen. Whenever you can, you got a place right here on the old Wisp Turlington show couch.
You're not above the law here, I'll tell you that.
Now I'm going to say to you, though, and I don't mean to call you out. Side with that piece of horse patootie newspaper there. But you have taken Stephen out of the opening. He used to always give you the nice,
Trip is saying he doesn't agree with the headline, but he might be semi-agreeing with the headline when it comes to Steven Seagal.
I'm just saying you can't be swayed by all these people out there, you know. That's because true. The truth is, you know, I remember hearing him when he came on with his band, and he did that Creole Cajun music that he was doing, and man, I just you turn me on to him as a musician, and I gotta say, for people who just know him as an actor, you're missing out, because his music is that's good. That's real Southern music. I mean, people don't know that. That's Southern music.
When you see him wearing a kimono, you know that some Southern Creole music is going to be coming out.
A kimono and feathers. He's wearing feathers.
He's doing the whole deal.
Oh, he's doing it all, and that's rock and roll. That's what it's all about. If I'm not watching him, I'm watching two other bands. I'm watching the Lieutenant Dan Band with Gary Sinise. That's rock and roll. And then, I'm probably going...
Russell Crowe's band.
There it is. Russell Crowe's.
Fistful of Grunts. Fistful of Grunts. Guys love Fistful of Grunts.
Fistful of Grunts.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. You know, but here's the thing. And what I love about everybody you just mentioned, and something I think I share, and something I think you both share with me, is, Steven Seagal. What is he? Well, he's a screenwriter.
Yes.
He's an actor.
Yes.
He's
number
a martial artist. He's a musician. Number one screenwriter.
That's what we all say right away. Steven Seagal, number one screenwriter. Screenwriter.
We know. And when, by the way, I have read one of his novels, and I'm going to tell you, like, a lot of people can't adapt to that. I think it's just Quentin Tarantino and Steven Seagal. You know, they're the only ones that can kind of work both mediums really well.
That's true. Which book did you read? I read Wolf Cry.
I read Wolf Cry as well. And what I'll tell you about it is, and this is just a fact. I mean, I can say as an older man, we all age. Right?
Don't
we all
that
age.
That is true.
Don't we? But when you read a book like The Way of Shadow Wolves, he doesn't age.
No.
Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's only so many things he can do now. And I'm not come here to critique, but, you know, if I want that out for justice, Steven Seagal, I'm going to read The Way of the Shadow Wolves, and I'm going to, in my mind, I got that. And that's the thing. He's making movies from my mind.
That's how I always describe his books. And The Shadow Wolf is like Screwhead. Like, it just merges into one. It's a movie book combo. I love it so much. You don't need a novelization because it is a movie a novel.
By the way, it takes place in your backyard, right? It's our backyard, honestly, because it's like you got this Mexican drug cartel, right? You got the deep state smuggling and jihadi terrorists, boom, and all happened in Maricopa.
Oh God!
I mean, that's just truth,
right there.
Right
of
there.
Course, it's Maricopa. I could talk about that all day long.
Trip. Hey, are you going to hang out with us? We're going to talk some stuff going on Trip's Dips. We're very excited about that. We do have to do traffic really fast. Art Spart.
108.9 The Hawk traffic with Art Spart.
Wow! Come to the Burt's Funeral Flowers traffic desk. This is Art, and I need to tell you that you may want to fly by night, but don't think about driving by night. Because we have traffic down on Neil Peart Parkway, because spring is here, and you know what that means for Val Verde. Of course, the giant owl from the cover of Rush's Fly By Night album cover is going to start its migration to Val Verde, like the swallows coming back to Capistrano. But instead, it is a giant mutant snow owl that comes to roost right in the middle of Geddy Lee Memorial Park. Now, I have never known if the name of that owl is Bitor or just the snow dog. But I can tell you this, that owl is real. It is not a fantastical drawing on a classic Canadian Frog album cover, and that owl shits everywhere. And the cards of Val Verde are feeling the impact, which is all fine and good until the giant robot eagle from Judas Priest screaming for vengeance comes migrating into town. Also real, also vicious. And once the two of those birds start fighting each other for supremacy of the park, and also over which is better, metal or prog. Wow! It is going to be a traffic convention for months when that happens. And I know what you are saying. Art, you are a cryptozoologist and a monster hunter, as well as the best damn traffic reporter in Val Verde. Can't you do something? Short and sweet? No. Because even before those titles, I am a Rush and Priest fan. And to show respect to nature and to these two monsters of rocks, and maybe you people should do the same. So get out your damn walking shoes and let nature take its course. This is Art Spart from the Burt's Funeral Flowers traffic desk. That's traffic.
With Burt's Funeral Flowers, with Burt's Funeral Flowers.
It's time for weather on 108.9 The Hawk.
No surprise here. Still fucking cold.
Fucking
it's
freezing
really cold.
Out there.
Fucking freezing. Scotty, I do hope you have the 2-hour delay on.
You got to get a 2-hour delay because this is getting colder and my swearing is just coming out
it's
even
gonna
more so.
Get worse. Oh, my God. More with Trip Larson here coming up very, very soon. But right now, there's only one thing I think that could really defeat the owl, Jeff. What do you think it is?
The trees.
Nope. It's TNT, AC/DC on 108.9 The Hawk.
Hey, this is Dave Mustaine from Megadeth. I'm also the new sponsor for Sharnies. Have you had all you can eat and all the buffets you could want? Of course you have if you've been eating at Sharnies. But what if I was to tell you that we are about to enter a new version of our classic buffet-a-thon, where no one can tell you what to do or eat? We're not going to have one. We're not going to have 18. But 43 buffets every other Tuesday, and no one can hold you back from your potential. Not even if you're my little Danish friend or anyone in Metallica.
If there's a new buffet, I'll be the first in line. But I better have cheese this time.
Just like a Megadeth song might have too many riffs, Mega Buffet might have too many buffets.
What do you mean I can't pick a million gravies? I didn't even know you had that many gravies. What do you mean I can't combine crab legs and yogurt? Got nothing better to do. What do you mean I can't eat myself sick? I'm Dave Mustaine, I can eat all I want. Well, tell me something, Metallica. Buffets are still all you can eat, right? If there's a new buffet, I'll be the first in line. And I'll get the chocolate fountain this time.
So come on down to the new Mega Buffet at Sharnies, and you can be the leader of your own buffet. And answer the question, can you put a price on a buffet? Yeah, no one eats for free at Shardy's.
No, yeah! Hi, I'm Jason Gore, and it's time for the 108.9 The Hawk concert calendar brought to you by Jeff Skunk Baxter's Ponytail Warehouse. Hey, on the second, we've got Clown Hunter making their triumphant return to Shooter's Bar and Grill with disgusting support from Panty Raid. Kix and Twiz Dead Fantasy are co-headlining Flapper's Casino on the 8th, with support from Fishmonger, Give Up Dad, Jeff Tate from Queensryche, and Party Pony. You ain't seen nothing yet, because BTO and Guess Who legend Randy Bachman starts his 90-day residency at Shitheads on the 9th. Local boys Stomp Box Sasquatch open for former Creed frontman Scott Stapp at Valmart Amphitheater on the 10th. Chunk Mathers, former singer of Slither, a tribute to Velvet Revolver, breaks out with his solo debut at Lucky Pricks on the 11th, playing only STP songs and one original called Stone Temple Pilots. Also on the 11th, Fister headlines Valmart Amphitheater with support from Warrant, Butt Weezer, Rat, and Ugly Kid Joe. Motley Crue and their backing tapes, a tribute to Motley Crue, are at Shooter's Bar and Grill on the 12th, and they've got support from local eccentric songwriter Squirtin' Terry. And don't worry about that, tarps will be available at the door. And finally, we have local bands Plurney, Skunk Trap, Kitchen Stink, and Beef Hemorrhage on the Uncle Petruchio's Outside Stage on the 13th. That show will be brought to you by 108.9 The Hawk. And just so you know, all tickets are available at your local Tickets outlet. And that's your 108.9 The Hawk concert calendar brought to you by the fine folks at Jeff Skunk Baxter's Ponytail Warehouse.
Ponytail Warehouse. Ponytail Warehouse. All the time.
Sounds like someone's afraid of classic rock.
Yeah, I'm just saying they seem real rowdy, that's all.
With bands like and even what is there to be afraid of?
Yeah, you're right. I guess the problem's me.
The Valley's greatest classic rock station, 108.9 The Hawk.
It's a football weekend. Everybody's playing with Todd. Another football weekend. Cause we've been working so hard.
I gotta say, that is probably my favorite David Bowie song. Saw on the
seaside of China Girl, and it is wonderful.
The seaside.
The only single ever released with a seaside. You have
right
to put
in the
it
in, hole.
Right in that hole. You gotta get it in there. And if you got a 33 or a 45, that's not gonna let you go in that middle. You are screwed.
A lot of people say Space Oddity or Life on Mars. But when you're playing David Bowie, you give me Football Weekend, because that's his best a song. Mm-hmm. Hey, it is the Wiz Turlington Show, 6:15. Good morning, Val Verde. And God, we've already gotten through so many topics. We're getting incredible. Through so much stuff with our best friend in the world. We love it when he stops by the studio. Trip Larson from Trips Dips, the only hot tub and hot sauce boutique in Val Verde. What's good with business, Trip?
Well, I gotta tell you, one of the best moves I ever made after this fake pandemic was I'm gonna go there right away. You know, was actually combining a couple of my loves. Obviously, I've been selling hot tubs for years, hot tubs and baseball cards. You know, and that's been going great for me. But I decided
and those two
that
you can never mix. That was always the problem.
Mix those. Well, that was it. You know, we do have a great acrylic casing for it and stuff like that. But the water will seep in. They're not watertight. They're not watertight.
I say that so many times. These baseball cards are not watertight.
You know, people don't want to listen. They want to do their own thing, and they got their own issues and whatever. But here's the thing, people. I got some great hot tubs. I want to come out here and tell you, because we obviously are coming up to summer, and what better time to cool off than in a nice hot tub. And the way I like to think about it is, you know, you're hanging with your friends. What's the best thing to do? Have some hot sauce, whatever you're doing, your barbecue, your chips, whatever you want to do. And you want to jump in and cool yourself off, because obviously we know that, you know, it's a cold plunge. I think that everyone's doing that. And you can make our hot tubs into cold plunges, too. All you got to do is just fill it up with cold water, and you got yourself a cold plunge tub if that's your liking, if that's your what you're into. Yeah, I don't know why, but, you know, you're one of those that you want to get yourself a cold old.
I've heard thing. I've heard that they are woke. Am I using the word right, Scott?
Is that a right word?
Is it correct to say that cold plunges are woke?
You know, look, a lot of these people are going to say a lot of things here about that cold plunges. Here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
You want a cold plunge? Take a cold shower. You want a cold plunge? Jump in a lake, okay? You're going to come over to Trips Dips, and that's dips in the hot tub and then dips because it is hot sauce. You're going to come over there, and you're going to get yourself a Mesa 26 Jet, six-person, 120-volt plug-and-play hot tub for $5,000.
Yep.
Let me tell you, it's not going to be... freaking cold.
No, it won't.
All right, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to sell you a $5,000 thing to make it cold. Look how much is cold. Those cold plunge things, they cost $7,000, $8,000. For what?
For a bunch of cold ice water. You know, the moment I saw Tony Robbins back off from the cold plunge, because that man, he used to love a cold plunge, but now he understands. He said, no dice. He says, give me one of those trip tubs, and he got in
there. I talked to Tony, and I'm a big believer in what Tony is selling, right? Because Tony is a millionaire, and if he was running for president, I'd vote for him.
I'd be VP. I would be fucking P.
You know, because what we need here is, and I've heard all the critique, oh, he looks like Frankenstein, oh, you know, if he was so good, wouldn't he be richer? You know what? Here's the thing. I think that when you have a man as like Tony Robbins who can walk on fire, walks on fire.
Yep.
And, you know, I bonded with him on that because I was like, you walk on fire. I lay in fire with a hot tub. You know what I'm saying? And we got those new hot tubs. Speaking of laying in fire, those new hot tubs with the firewall. That's his little gas. Yep.
That's the Tony Robbins model because he is one of the only men to have a beautiful photo. And it is a beautiful photo in the Time Life Mysteries of the Unknown series. There's just that beautiful picture of mind over matter, Tony Robbins walking that fire. But then you see in the background, you're in that photo trip. I saw you in that photo and you're hanging out with him. It's amazing.
He's in another photo in that book. He's under Sea Monster. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
If he is a sea monster, I believe every bit of it because the man is an unnatural being. And, you know, Tony came to me, and I guess it was because he was doing a tour around town, and I had read The Awaken, The Giant Within, one of his great books. And Tony said to me, he goes, you know, what can I do to get my morning routine figured out great? And I said, Tony, let's do this. I've been thinking about this. I'm an inventor myself, obviously. Right. You know what? You've seen my truck.
Oh.
I put a trampoline in the bottom of... first of all, it's a in-the-ground hot tub. We dig out a hole. We put one of the hot... We just put a hot tub in. Well, we're not... You know, we put a hot tub in.
You spill it right in that hole.
We just drop it in the hole. Easy peasy. We make it... we make sure the cords come out. You know, always... Whenever you drop that hot tub in there, you want to make sure the cord comes out. Sometimes you drop it in, you drop it on the cord, right? You are screwed. Yeah, you gotta dig another hole or get somebody.
Oh,
so I put that in the ground, and I throw one of my kids' trampolines in there. You know, or you get one of the ones that your wife has, or she's like, it's a mini tramp. It's not a trampoline, but it can be, you know, when you put that thing in there. Oh my gosh, I'll tell you one thing. Well, that's one piece of baggage I'm happy not to have anymore. God bless. You know, I'll tell you this much. She did take half of the shop, and that is why we are... half of the shop is obviously the dress shop. It is split in half. So, you know, you got the jip, you got the dips on one side, you got the hot tubs, and you got the dresses.
Right.
And I got to say, you know...
They are beautiful dresses. They are.
They're very nice. A lot of flame work. It's like women are wearing hot rods, basically.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you. Dress. It's beautiful.
I'm glad you brought up Guy Fieri, you know, because the really is my wife, you know, we broke up because we wanted to have different things in our lives, but I respect the hell out of her as a designer and her look.
Best.
You know, she took that Harley Davidson kind of look and she's now put it to why do men only have to be able to wear that? Women can wear it too. The flames are great. You know, and they're low cut, they're high cut, whatever it is, it's gonna show as much as we can show without you getting arrested. Anyway,
perfect for Sturgis. If you're looking to get a good look for Sturgis this year, and I always go to Sturgis, you can wear one of these dresses.
I mean, I'm gonna go see Clutch and Dinosaur Jr. in Sturgis, and I want the fine lady next to me wearing a Guy Fieri style dress.
You need it. I mean, you need it, and you want it, and you want to have everybody be jealous. I mean, honestly, that's the only reason to go out there. And by the way, I do want to mention the one reason why I am on here because Arizona legend, yes. Chip Hale, who you all know is a baseball player, you know, played from 89 to 97. He managed until 2016.
It's a good run for Chip.
A great run for Chip. He's going to be in the store signing some baseball cards and hot tubs, whatever you want him to sign.
Wow. And the hot tub. He will sign the. So if I get a Mesa, if I buy another Mesa, for, because let's face it, I'm already in four Mesas with you.
I mean, we're doing these new things, these new indoor hot tubs. Why do they need to always be outdoors? That's the question.
Good
question.
I was just asking Scotty that before. Scotty, what is the answer to this one? Why do they have to be? He's just shaking his head
no.
They don't have to be. This is this is kind of the what people want you to believe, that hot tub needs to be outside. But you know, I do want to tell you that, you know, whether it's a Life Smart or a Luxuria or an Elite 500. We're going to hook you up with a good one. We even got these inflatable ones, these cozy. Ooh. These cozies, what have I got? These cozies are great. They're $429. You can see them over at Walmart. They're going to jack that price up to $500, $600.
Yeah,
you come over to me, I give it to you for $429. And that's going to be an inflatable one with just jets and everything, all the accessories.
Wow.
But let me just say it. So yes, I go to Tony Robbins, and Tony goes, what can I do here for a hot tub? I want to experience extreme heat. So we bury it in the ground. We jack up those jets. And I'm an inventor. So I've kind of put this gas pump on it too. So we get that heat up there. So that's cooking. It's about 210 in there.
That's more than like a natural spring, correct?
A natural spring is going to, natural springs are going to just get a certain level. This is going to almost be a human boiling level.
Oh, that would really help with the sciatica.
Well, I mean, and look, here's the thing. I said, Tony, I go, you're going to burn yourself because spa water is that's like 105 degrees.
And
we're going a whole 200 more,
Yeah.
So, 113 maybe. Right. So, I put a mini tramp, my wife's old mini tramp, in the bottom of that. So what Tony does is he jumps in and out of the hot tub. So he's like, bam, bam, bam. So it's just getting a little bit of scalding. Wow. And he's also getting his cardio in there. And I'm trying to figure out how we can brand this and get this out here. But that's something that's not ready yet. This is not ready for primetime hot
prototype.
Tub sales yet.
All right.
Prototype, indeed. It's a hot tub.
There are those jump parks. I don't know if you've been to a jump park.
Oh,
trip.
I have. What, my son broke his neck in one of those. Still in traction. My God. But you know what? It's his fault.
That's true.
It
is his fault.
You walk into those tramp parks and they tell you, buyer beware, watch
trampoline
out when you're jumping.
Trampoline's never done anything.
I don't put my name on a contract unless I read it through. And I told Tripp Jr., I said, read the contract. Did you read the contract?
It's right
they
there.
They are not liable. And he can't speak anymore. You know, he writes on it. He even calls it writing. He's basically pointing at objects.
It's just chicken scratch, basically.
And I said, son, I told you, never put your name on a contract you haven't read through. He goes in there to, go play his, basketball, run up a wall, whatever goddamn thing he's going to do. And he broke his goddamn neck, and whatever.
Children, you can teach them, but you can't teach them to learn. If you know what I mean.
Amen. You know what? And that's the thing. That's a life lesson that he's got to learn the hard way.
Very hard.
I didn't realize we were turning into chicken soup for the soul. Maybe I am mellowing out. Maybe you're right, Steve Lust, Vanessa Creve. You fox.
Let me ask you this. Steve Lust, Vanessa Creve.
Yeah.
We need two people to write an article now.
Good Lord.
I mean, what happened? I make my own ads. I make my own hot sauce. I make my own hot tub inventions. By the way, I want to tell you this. Jalapeno hot sauce, that lawsuit has settled.
Thank God.
Because of the same exact reason I've talked to you both about. Mm-hmm. Read the goddamn, I don't know if I can say that.
No, you can't. We're on delay.
Two-hour delay.
All right, well, read the damn label, okay? When I say it's hot. It's hot. You can't sue me for that. Now, that's obviously something that Miss Gwen Perkins had to learn the hard way,
In your face, Gwen Perkins.
The problem is everybody thinks it's so funny because it's a wonderful picture of you on that label, and there's a little word bubble that says, when I say it's hot, it's goddamn hot, but everyone just thinks you're joking around.
I say it's above 300 on the Scoville scale, all right?
It's a thought bubble, though. That's the thing. Yeah. I will say that's a little confusing, Trip, because if it were a just regular
straight
comic
line.
Bubble, it was a thought. It's like
there were three dots
about
going
it.
To
well,
the bubble.
This this is why, and this is, I'm now look, now you have to talk about my defense and why that was actually really good. So obviously what we had to use was, we call it the Ziggy defense. And the Ziggy defense, obviously, you know, Tom Wilson and Tom Wilson Jr. Yeah. You know, Ziggy is one of the most popular cartoons in America's history. Probably. And Ziggy often uses a thought bubble. And we said, well, how could this be a most popular cartoon if he was just thinking something? We wouldn't be able to understand it. And so we used the Ziggy defense on that, where the judge saw in our favor that, yes, a thought bubble or a speech bubble, it's the same difference.
Oh,
if you can read it, you can understand it. So thank you, Tom Wilson. He doesn't get any money off
this
it.
This is why it's good to use Best in the Biz lawyers, because any other lawyer would have tried to use
they would have tried to use
the Garfield defense, where it's like, do we know he's speaking? Do we not know he's speaking? But that's not going to hold up in the court.
Well, I ain't a cat. You know, that's the thing.
And that was the argument
I
made.
I ain't a cat, you know, because cats can't speak. Ziggy can speak.
Right.
So Ziggy sometimes will think and sometimes will speak. And that's when I put on my thing. It's above 300 on the Scoville scale. I'm thinking that, like, that's a thought, you know, now you're going to buy it. And, you know, that woman, you know, and God bless her. I mean, I know she can't taste or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, again, read the label, people. Read the label.
Read the label. And she can remember, though. Gwen remembers what things taste like. When she looks at a pizza, she knows what it was.
I'm going to tell you one thing. I've been dealing with this lawsuit for the last 2.5 years.
Yeah.
She has gotten so skinny and she's gotten so hot. I gave her one of my wife's dresses and I said, Gwen, you know what? You may not be able to taste, but you are giving off a lot of flavor. So why don't you why don't you just go out there and get yourself a man and forget all about this? You know, and
vroom, vroom on up to Sturgis, Gwen.
Yeah.
There you
exactly.
go.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, but I'm excited. I mean, I'm excited, you know, with this Carolina Reaper pepper that we got is just, you know, it's great. And, you know, people say to me, you know, Trip, why do you make these hot sauces that, you know, are impossible to eat? And I say, because it's a challenge. Why is Mount Everest there? Because everyone climbs it?
Nah. Exactly.
Because everyone climbs it. It's there, man.
It's there for you to do it. But you're the only one doing it with this Mount Everest of hot sauces.
Amen.
Oh, my God. We do have to take a quick break, Trip. We're going to come back, and we've got a little game prepared for you. I hope you're ready to play Hot Tub or Hot Sauce.
Oh, I can't wait.
That is coming up here. And right now, though, I guess this is how some people, this is how truly, Tony Robbins felt on your new invention. I bet he felt like a real Jumpin' Jack Flash, if you know what I mean. It's the Stones on 108.9 The Hawk.
Yes.
Val Verde Pizza and Brewing continues to deliver the best and only beer-tasting ghost tour that Val Verde has ever seen. Join us every single hour of every single day for Beers for Fears. Enjoy 6 pints of our various signature beers, and we take you on an off-road tour of our unfinished basement. This spring, we made a very difficult decision to move the beer tasting portion of the tour to after the ghost portion because our insurance adjuster said we had to due to the amount of injuries that have happened on site. We almost lost it all. So please stop asking us to change the order back to Beers During Fears. Beers During Fears has proven to be very expensive, very dangerous, and frankly, we think the ghost truly enjoyed hurting people in their inebriated state. I cannot scientifically prove this. I can just gauge it on all that ghost laughter we heard, and that brings me to another point. While we legally cannot say that people have died in our unfinished basement, we legally can say we are home to over 200 of Val Verde's goddamn meanest ghosts. Which brings us to our forms. Please make sure you sign the waiver and release forms, as we do not and will not take responsibility for the psychological trauma that you may experience at the hands of these spirits. We're not kidding. I have been bullied by these ghosts so much, I am personally back in therapy. So come on down to Val Verde Pizza and Brewing, home to Val Verde's best slices and brews and booze. God damn you, go stop it. We're not going to sell anything if they hear you now. Val Verde Pizza and Brewing, right next to Lost Souls Cemetery, Hog Street, Val Verde.
Hey, dads, go ahead and relax and crank up your favorite Steely Dan song on 108.9 The Hawk. Wait, what's that? The front door's opening. Oh, God. Now your wife is gonna know you played hooky from work. Only so you could listen to your favorite Steely Dan song on 108.9 The Hawk.
Do you need an all-purpose housewarming gift? Do you need a gift for a coworker that you've been stuck in a Secret Santa with? Do you need a gift for that neighbor that you've never learned their name, but they did you a solid and picked up your mail when you went away for the weekend? Then come on down to Infinite Succulents. We have all of the succulent plants you need at higher prices than you're imagining. The succulent plant is the most versatile style of plant and the most gift-givable. And lucky for us, unbelievably cheap, but with an amazingly high markup. From one succulent plant, we can keep cutting more and more and more. Infinite succulent plants to suck you dry from all the money that you have in your wallet because you are in need of giving a gift to someone you know nothing about. All we need to do is shove it into a nice, cute-looking little bowl, and you'll pay lots of money. Because what are you gonna do? Not bring a gift? Infinite succulents. We're a scam.
Hi, it's Zane from Pfister. And you know what sucks the most? Finding out that your band was selling more albums when you were dead before you magically sprung back to life. You know what also sucks the most? Cyberbullying. Don't do it. It really hurts.
Oh, it's Mick Jagger, and I'm here on behalf of Crab to talk about cyberbullying. Don't do it, okay?
Man, Shotgun Bailey from Mama's Revenge. And the one thing I hate the most in this world, man, is cyberbullying. I get on Mama's Revenge forums all the time, and everybody's saying the same thing, that in 2023, Mama's Revenge fucking sucks. And you know what? That fucking sucks because it makes me cry every night on the tour bus, and I don't deserve that.
A message from Crab, current rockers against bullying.
The Wisp Turlington Show on 108.9 The Hawk.
R.I.P. Rest in power, David Crosby.
Rest in
Miss
power.
Miss him every day.
Rest in power.
Every day. He would be the first phone call I would get every morning, Jeff.
Every morning. Just every letting you morning. Know what he was going to tweet that day.
Yeah, he would run down. He would have his legal pad out, filled with 300 tweets. You think that he just did that on the fly?
Oh, God.
He planned that shit.
You see, I like that. I like hearing that.
That is very good. It is very good. You know what else is very, very good? Trip Larson from Trip's Dips.
Hey, thank you. God bless. God bless. God bless.
Hey, God bless you, Trip. It's always an absolute blast when you're in here. And I told you, I promised we would play this. So now it is time to play. Well, no, not that one. Now it is time to play.
Hot tub or hot sauce.
All right. I like it.
Here we go. We're going to list some for you, Trip. And
okay.
You tell us, is it a hot tub? Now, these could be classic models. These could be models that are currently on display at Trip's Dips.
Could be prototypes for future Trip Dips.
But it Got also it. Could be a hot sauce also display at Trip's Dips.
Got it.
Here we go. First one. Hot soup.
Hot soup. Well, we all know that. That is, of course, one of my famous hot sauces.
That's correct. Got some points up on the board there. That
I
is.
I love some hot soup. Your hot insides feel sauce. Like hot soup yeah, after yeah, you yeah. that one. It's so good.
And that's why, that's actually, and I should have said Thai because it is also our first tie in between hot sauce and a hot tub. Hot soup, hot soup.
Wait. So if it's a tie in, are you filling the hot tub with the hot soup?
Oh, God, no. You are the soup is you.
You're the soup.
You're the filling soup. Yeah. The hot tub with yourself.
Amen. Amen.
Hot soup. People. Now I'm
My God,
it.
Soylent Green all over again. Here's the next one. I'm soaking bones. Is it a hot sauce or a hot tub?
Is it a hot sauce or a hot tub? I'm soaking bones. Well, you know what? That is, I believe, the phrase of the luxurious 650. I'm soaking bones, and you can soak your bone too, but as long as you don't bone in it, as long as it's in the store. That's a longer catchphrase, but you know, obviously, you can bone in it whenever you're at home, but you can't bone in it in the store.
I saw that billboard. I did see that billboard, and you're correct there. That is. That
all right,
is.
All right. Okay. I like
they
that.
They paid for that extended billboard, but it was worth it.
It was big. Well, I didn't want to go on a double line. I just wanted to go all the way across, and that was long.
Tiny
we had to use
font,
either very
still.
Tiny font, or we had to get we had to do the billboard extender, which I was happy with how it looked.
I think
just
it looked beautiful.
Read the fine print. Read
just
it.
Read the fine print.
Just read it. How many times do we have to say this in this whole goddamn show? Just read.
Read the goddamn.
I mean, that's every time you go into your store, though. You yell this to our faces, which I always appreciate.
I appreciate it.
As soon as someone walks
me,
in, get ready to read the goddamn fine print and read the contract.
Fine print.
This is one of my favorite on either side. One toe in.
One toe in. That is, of course, my hot sauce for girly men. That's something where you know you don't want to. I know I don't want to have it. I'm so scared. I'm
just want one scoop.
Owie. Yeah. All right, we got a few more for you here, Trip. You're doing great. You are literally
you are doing
winning
wonderful.
It all.
By
you're
the way,
winning
thank
it
you
all.
So much. Thank you. Thank you.
Let's see here. Satan's conundrum.
Satan's conundrum. That's a good one. All right. So Satan's conundrum. Well, I know that. That's a hot sauce.
That is a hot sauce. Oh, it is. Okay. The blaster.
Blaster. Well, that is another one of my legal troubles. That is, of course, a hot tub.
And that
had the unfortunate thing of, and God bless them. This is somebody who did read the instructions.
Yeah, they did.
But we jacked up the power on that too much. And, we created that issue where his anus came out the other way. So it was almost like a protracted anus situation because of blaster.
Wow.
Those jets are powerful.
Yeah.
And if you sit, he was sitting in the right spot.
Right.
But we didn't tweak the power right. So that was $4,000 I was happy to give him back. Right there.
Because you like to make the customer happy all the time. If they want super strong jets that might prolapse their anus, then you want to make them happy. But also, if you do prolapse the anus, you're fine giving back money. You're fine.
I'm going to give it to you.
You're going to make that up and you probably make that every 15 seconds, Trip, don't you?
Oh, amen. Look, I'm going to tell you one thing. Business has been good to me because I always say this. Hot tubs are not They're recession proof. Is that what they call it?
I mean, especially in Val Verde, we are one of the coldest towns, and we have more hot tubs per capita.
Oh yeah, and you need
in
them
any other city, and I think it's all because of you, Tripp. And I raise my glass to you.
Well, you know what it is? I can tell you one thing. The reason why that is, it's not because of me. It's not because my hot tubs are the best. Not because my hot sauces are the best. Not because I have the best baseball cards. It's because I have the best customers. Val Verde, to me, is a community, and we support our community. I'm going to go to you. You're going to go to me, and God bless everybody. And I'm not going to read that damn rag out there who's like,
Trip. I wasn't going to say it because they say that I'm just going to be old whiny pants over here. That'll be the headline tomorrow. Old whiny pants. That's Wiz Turlington. Can't take a headline.
Steve Lutz, Vanessa Creve. Which one's getting the participation trophy in that headline there, I'm saying?
God. Oh, my God. I mean,
put them in the
brother.
Blaster.
You
that's
ever
all
see
I got to say. Put them in the blaster.
They're both getting participation trophies, all right?
I would like to see their a-holes just sucked right out.
Hey, two more
in the game here. We are playing the game Hot Tub or Hot Sauce. All right. This is a tough one, Trip.
All right.
The Steely Dan.
Steely Dan. Well, now, this one done stumped me. The Steely Dan, I know that we had the Kiss coffins because I sold them for a bit. Steely Dan, I'm going to guess here and just say, is that a hot tub?
Oh my God. You know your business.
I do. Yeah,
I'd have to get some Steely Dans in the shop. That's the one that'll make you look like Donald Fagan.
Oh, my gosh. Amen. Yeah, you got to.
You get prune fingers. You get prune face. You look like Donald Fagan. It's amazing.
You sleep in the water, it starts playing peg.
I love that.
It's very nice. Final
Those
one.
Jets just sound like Michael McDonald. It's beautiful.
It's really nice.
That, by the way, I just want to say that is also sadly the sound that it made when that jet blaster went on and kind of took down our friend there. Yeah, that was terrible.
That is
R.I.P. Rest in power to that prolapsed anus.
Rest in power.
Final one here. Gross me off.
Gross me off. That's a hot sauce, my friend.
It is, and I put it on pizza last night. Congratulations,
oh,
Trippy.
My God.
I love
it.
Them. I love Gross Me Up on Flapper's wings. That's one of my favorite flavors at Flapper's lately.
Oh, my God.
Now, how often are people filling your hot tubs with hot sauce? That's what I've been wondering.
Well, I say, you know, you can do whatever you want to do as long as you're paying cash. That's what I always say. You can do whatever
you want. That was a billboard, too. I saw that in your commercial. And your commercial. Now, you have one location in Valverde. Have you ever thought of franchises?
Oh, God, yes. You know, for me, a franchise is, you know, something that I want. You know, I would love to do that. But the truth is, I also have to be reticent of the amazing clients that I have here. And I don't want to, if I can't take that to a place and can create what I do somewhere else, I'm not going to franchise myself out there. That.
You don't want your hands tied. You don't want your hands tied by local government, big government, any government. God. They get in your way. Get out of here.
Valverde East, their government, they're never going to stand for the stuff that at Trips
Dips.
Yeah,
amen.
It opens you up to a lot of different legal issues. You could even have more, you know, more problems, especially out there in VVE. There's a lot of buttholes that are very, very loose and ready to fly right out.
Absolutely. I mean, that's always the fear. That's the fear. We you know, I can't open myself to more lawsuits. My lawyer says that much.
Every single day.
They do. They keep calling during the show.
They keep saying it. Oh, my God. Well, you know what? It's been so good having you here, Trips. And anything going on that you want people to know, like, come out to Trips Dips this weekend for blank.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is great. I appreciate you giving me this chance to plug the store. You know, obviously, like I said, we're going to have some signings. We're going to have some tastings.
Yeah.
And what we are trying to do now is do our biggest hot tub party, and that is going to be coming up this June, so I want to get the word out. Bring your hot tub. Truck hot tubs are welcome. We're going to get everybody in Valverde in a hot tub at the same time. We're going to try to break a Guinness World Book record, and I think right now it's being held someplace in Korea, so we're going to break that, we're going to do that. We got to take that back. Oh, we got to take that back for America. We got to take that back for everything that we have, so we're going to do that.
Going to have a hand on a hard body style competition in there hand on a hot tub
or hand on a hot sauce on a hot tub.
Put a hand on a hot sauce and on a hot tub and a hard body so you can win a truck hot sauce hot tub combo.
Hey, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but maybe
God gave you two hands. God gave you 2 feet.
How about this? Maybe going back to your idea, we fill it up with hot sauce and you got to drink your way out. That's the way we've talked about that. When that was somebody shot that down illegal. Then we had another thing, which was you got to, you know, for every minute in the hot tub, you have to have a bit of hot sauce. That seemed like a little bit anticlimactic.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, and then you know, we're trying to find ways to make the hot sauce and the hot tubs mix a little bit better. Right now, people say that, you know, it doesn't make sense, and they say, well, dips. You know, it's like, well, they wear your dips, and we're mainly talking about that because we're going to do one hot tub full of guac, and we got to figure out a way to keep it nice and cold. So we're gonna get a big old pit. I go to find one of those big avocados and get a pit in there and make sure it doesn't go brown.
Yeah, that could be some legalities there too. You get some rancid guac in a hot tub that people are not gonna be happy.
I know.
Your wife could be coming after a little bit more than half if she gets wind of that.
Amen.
You know?
Let me just say those a-holes are mellow because this guy, I would hop right into it. I would take my bottoms right off and I would slurp right down into that, and I'd be the happiest man on earth, and I cannot wait.
Oh my gosh, I appreciate that.
I cannot wait. Of course, Trips Dips down on Hog Street in Valverde, and Trip, you're there every day, right? The people can just see you.
I'm there. I come in every day. I'm there every day. I want to be there every day. I want to talk to you. I want to make sure we're going to be doing that that hot tub renewal. So you bring in an old hot tub, we'll give you a new hot tub. We're going to give you the best price for your old hot tub, and we'll send you out with the door of the new one.
What are you doing? It's one of the best hot tub upgrade programs I've ever seen. Yeah, I gotta say, really
you bring it in, we look at it, we have our team experts, and that's basically Samantha, and that's and then David sometimes if he remembers to get up. David, get in there, get in the game.
We're gonna have your son be one of those investigators, but
my son can't, you know. Obviously, we're, you know, if he gets his power of speech back, I would love to do that, you know. Right now,
keep it in the family.
He ain't worth shit, you know. And that's
he ain't worth shit.
Can't talk.
Trip Jr., he's not listening right now, so I can say that. But now they're going
to
say.
Even if he was, he couldn't understand it, seems to me.
Yeah. Headline tomorrow, old bastard Wist Turlington says you ain't shit to a crippled boy.
Wow. Now Verity is terrible.
It writes itself. Yeah. It writes itself. Hey, coming up in the next hour on the Wiss Turlington Show, that's right, we see you in the booth. You've waited so long. Skeet Ulrich's going to come in here, and
can't
he's
wait.
Working on Big his fan. Tight Five, because he is doing a comedy set at Dingbats this weekend. And you're going to be able to
see him. You're going to love it.
No, you're going to. If you like it's laughter, if you love to laugh, you love the skeet, and you're going to love that skeet. At Dingbats this weekend. Here's a song. Whenever I hear this song on the radio trip, I think of you. Because this is your life, man.
I love this.
This
you know what? I love this.
This is you, man.
Amen. Amen, it is. Yeah.
There it is. It's,
trip,
like,
trip.
It's like he's... Right, yeah, it's like he's saying Trip Larson with his fingers. Oh God.
Walsh, you speak with those licks.
Oh, you speak it. You speak it on 108.9. The Hawk. And we're in the interview.
All right.
Paul Scheer.
Guys, how are you?
I'm great, man.
Thank you for doing this.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Pleasure. I spent some time in Lake Havasu, Arizona.
Really?
Lake Havasu, Arizona is where we shot Piranha 3D.
Nice.
And one of the things I found the most interesting, I actually enjoyed my time there. I think that they've had they have a lot of people coming into town, a lot of spring breakers coming into town. One of the interesting things about that town is most machine guns per capita.
Wow.
Not a joke. Most machine guns per capita.
Is it on like a seal or something, or like the town sign when you drive in?
You know what? We found that out a little bit, because literally there was a gun store almost on every corner, like the way that you would find a bodega on every corner in New York City. And it was shocking at first. There's a couple things in there too that I really took... not pride in, but I really made my day better, which was their local paper every day would have the police blotter. And I guess it came out every like 3 days or something like that.
Right.
The police blotter was just full of stabbings. Full of stabbings. Stabbings were back.
Oh my God.
In that little town. Like, there's a lot of fist fights and stabbings.
Yeah.
And, and I remember that when my wife came to visit me in Lake Havasu, Arizona, she wasn't my wife at this point. She was just my girlfriend.
Yeah.
And she came down and we were shooting this movie, and by the time we would wrap, it'd be about 5 or 6, and it was about a 45-minute drive back to, we had to take a boat, and then we get back. So it was a while before when we wrapped to when we actually got back home. And about 8 o'clock, the only place it was open was a Chili's. That was it. Everything else was closed down besides this Chili's.
Oh, God.
So I started eating a Chili's every single night.
Yeah.
Every single night. And then, you know, it becomes that thing where it's like, at first it's like, oh my God, am I eating at a Chili's every night?
Right.
And it's like, I can't wait to go back to Chili's.
Oh my God.
Right. And then it's like, now I feel like I'm an expert at Chili's. And all this kind of happened. And I said to, you know, so when June came, I was excited to bring her to Chili's.
We're going to Chili's, babe.
You know, and
I've
was
got this
like,
good
babe.
Place. I've got this place. You're going to love it when you
little
get here.
Little mom and pop, you might not have heard
like, I was so excited. I was like, you can't wait to check out this margarita. And, you know, she was like, and she looked at me in that dinner and she said to me, she's like, you're hanging out with trash. You're becoming trash. And it wasn't even said like in a way of like, it was just like a statement. It was an observation of fact. It it wasn't like I'm leaving you. It was like,
oh,
you're
God.
Trash. And she wasn't wrong.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And that's Val Verde, man. That is very much the picture of Val Verde we have in our mind. We have a restaurant in Val Verde that is kind of like a, I don't know if you're familiar with Shoney's. Have you ever
Shoney's? Yeah.
So ours is called Sharney's.
Okay,
and it has over 20 buffets.
Nobody
eats for free. It's run by a person named Ma Sharney, who, when they die, another Ma Sharney is elected like a pope.
Oh,
and, smoke goes
Lord.
Out from the tower to let Val Verde know.
And it's the favorite restaurant of Val Verde. So that is very in line. Have you been back to Chili's since?
I probably have been. I'm not a snob about this.
Oh,
you
know,
no,
man.
I'm gonna support a Chili's. Just not every night. Not every night.
Right. Maybe you do Chili's one night, Golden Corral the next.
Yeah, I'll kinda mix it up.
Bob Evans in there.
I'm a person who truly loves I love like a buffet. You know, I want to go out there. I want to experience everything. So Chili's is a Chili's is a like But Chili's doesn't really have a buffet, but they got great Mexican food. But
traditional.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I grew up like wanting, like, I love going to Sizzler because of that buffet. Love the idea of like, I love the idea of having like a, and if you go to Vegas, like a little lobster and a brownie, like, that's, you know, let's mix up these things that don't go together, you know, have a little bit of something. I will tell you, and this may be the opposite of Chili's, but if you're ever in Vegas, the one thing I recommend, and it sounds like it's going to be super hoity-toity. It is, but it's not super expensive, is the Four Seasons breakfast buffet. Oh.
Really?
The Four Seasons has a breakfast buffet that is so good because it's elevated, but it's still everything that you want. It's really good.
Oh, my God. I always go to Bacchanal at Caesar's Palace, and the trick for Bacchanal is to go towards the end of lunch and then just keep eating because they transition over to dinner. And you can just slide right into dinner.
Yeah, they're not kicking you out.
Going. They're not going to kick you out.
I got to say, buffet-wise,
they have to carry me out.
Lately, I was a little disappointed in the Disneyland breakfast princess character Disney.
Disney does not do buffets as good as I remember them. When I was a kid, I loved them.
Yeah.
They're not where they're at.
I brought my niece and my kid, and it was. I was like, this is bargain basement box eggs.
Yeah,
that's probably what the box said.
Yeah,
it's tricky. It's like Disney, I think, has saved money across the board, and I just feel like that food at Disney has gone down, or I've grown up. I can't quite
tell, you know.
But it is very tricky to kind of see, like, a mediocre buffet. Like, that's why Vegas says a buffet is good. Like, you know, like I even will go to like. I don't even want like the gross stuff. I'm like, give me a chance to make my own salad. I grew up in this town, Northport in Long Island, and you know, people go, what is it known for? And I don't know if it's known for anything, but I do know that we had one of the best restaurants there. And please use this at one point in your show. It was called Steakport. Steakport. So
it sounds like it would be in Long Island.
Yes, it does.
Steakport. Combining like this is a fish and meat place, Steakport, and I loved Steakport so much because they had that giant ass salad bar. And I know like they're gonna trick you by filling up on the salad, but they're not tricking me. I love it. I'm all in. I want to fill up on the buffet.
Love a good salad bar.
Well, Paul, you do so much. We're going to talk about the stuff that you're doing, get some plugs in. But the one question we always ask our guests when they come on The Hawk is this. And it's, what is your relationship to classic rock or classic rock radio, especially like growing up?
Okay, so growing up for me, 92.3 K-Rock. That's me. I'm a New York kid.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up listening to Howard Stern. And Howard Stern, WNBC first, but I wasn't really old enough to be WNBC. I was K-Rock. Mm-hmm. So K-Rock was on from the minute you get in the morning. I didn't really understand that there was any other music. Well, I guess I did.
Right.
But as a kid, it was only classic rock. Mm-hmm. All that, you know, it's always classic rock. I'm going to go back to that statement. I don't think I really understood that there was more to the world besides that. You know, it was like, these are the bands. I understand all these bands. They all stay the same. You know, they all bring some memory back, a sense of memory of like, you know, Steely Dan, I was like, oh, why don't they tour? I really want to see them tour. You know, I was angry about that.
Yeah.
You know, but my dad also listened to like Bob Dylan. I never was a Bob Dylan fan, but Bob Dylan doesn't really feel like classic rock to me, right? Like, I feel like, I mean,
now and then, but not as much.
Right.
But like Maggie's Farm or something like that would be played on a classic rock station for Dylan.
Yeah.
But not like not the really early stuff.
Maybe the Hurricane.
Yes. We played the Hurricane.
Definitely.
On the stations I worked for.
And yeah, the classic rock is like, it. Now, is it still going on? Is it, people are, we still into, I mean, I know we got it on Sirius and stuff like that.
Yeah. There are still classic
Pearl
rock
Jam
stations.
Pearl Jam is now classic rock.
Right.
Well, yes, so they've is like Bon Jovi.
Yeah, they've moved that all into like one, so you'll get Boston straight into Pearl
In
Jam.
Bloom by Nirvana.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
It's an interesting thing because I think I grew up liking rock music, you know, and it's a very specific thing. It's like, well, they don't make music like that anymore. And then and that's why I think I would like gravitate towards like garage band, like that kind of band sound. I like that. I like that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you, know what I'm really into right now? And I want to ask you this question because we got in this debate the other day on how did this get made. But oddly, we were not on mic. So now I'm like, I want to bring it up to somebody else.
Yeah.
So when people talk about the best bands from the 70s or 80s, they often don't talk about Earth, Wind, and Fire.
They don't?
Now, I know that's not classic rock, but I've been listening through their catalog in the last couple of days. They're amazing.
Yeah.
And they kind of get, I think when you think of Earth, Wind, and Fire, you think about like September, and you kind of start to put these bands in this like side, like they kind of live in this side category, but they're so good. Like they're like their albums are solid.
I would honestly guess a chunk of that, because I agree, is questionable politic studio owners.
Yes, you know,
I think that is a huge chunk where it's just like, well, that's R&B. Like, we've decided that. Like, that is not, like, you know, AOR.
And it's interesting because, like, it's tricky, right? Because, like, jazz, R&B, soul, funk, disco, pop, like, whatever it is, like, they all kind of, like, merge in a way where it's like, and so it's like, it's not jazz. Earth, Wind, and Fire is not jazz, so it doesn't really fit there. No.
It's not completely fusion, but there's a little bit.
Yeah, it's not fusion, and it's like, it's not completely R&B, because I think when I think of R&B, I think of more sultry, even like to Boys to Men or something like Barry White, like that kind of thing.
Right.
And then it's like, well, soul and funk, that kind of, there's so many, and I even Besho used to play a bunch of, like, there's some stuff like that soul and funk kind of are erased from our like popular lexicon. Like it's like, they're not, there's not a place to go for that kind of music, I think, often.
No, not, I mean, there are some specialty, like, serious channels for that.
Right.
I think with a band like, you know, Earth, Wind, and Fire, that just, every song was a different genre.
Yeah.
So it was a very hard way to place them. Like, you know, Shining Star is so different from September.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, so different from, you know, Boogie Wonderland or anything like that. Like, I would say in the early, like, late 70s, early 80s, they were on a lot of the, you know, a lot of the urban stations coming out of each. Because I remember Queen, when, you know, they got a lot of airplay in 80 and 81 on urban stations with Another One Bites the Dust.
Right.
Well, yeah. And you think it's because of disco, though, too? Is it, because, like, I think you're right. Because it's like, you know, like, let's groove tonight, like that, like, you know, or like, like, and then we really rejected disco in such a way that I think we threw away, like, there's so much bad disco.
Right.
Yeah.
But, like, Queen is, I mean, is Queen disco? I don't know. Like, I mean, Queen kind of
there
goes,
are parts that were.
Yeah.
I think
there's
Queen
a very,
is very
big
much like,
argument for the homophobia of the rock versus disco thing anyway.
Yes.
So it's like that became its own, like, classic rock versus, like, and then it's just a bad scene when you look back, because you're just like, okay, well, there was, like, politically it was bad and musically it was
bad. Right.
Because you kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's like, well, a lot of people jumped on disco and disco has a mix, you know, is a weird, there, you know, like anything, there's bad rock too.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
so,
and it's
much
like
bad rock.
But we really jettisoned disco and like, in every version of it.
We made it so the Bee Gees could no longer sing their own songs.
Right.
Yeah.
But they had to start
and
giving them a way to make a living.
15 to 18 records of the greatest albums ever.
The greatest albums. Like, you go back and listen to those Bee Gees records and just sit and listen to the instrumentation, and you're just blown away.
I went to go see the Foo Fighters, which probably are considered classic rock now.
Oh, yeah.
I'd never seen the Foo Fighters before, and I really... And
they're
look,
the Bob Seger of our generation.
Yes, I mean, like, whenever I say
I
like
Foo
the
Fighters, so
okay, I do too.
I do.
And I love Bob Seger, so it all works.
And you
out.
Love Bob Seger, so.
But I feel like whenever I say it, people are like, "Meh, Foo Fighters." But
Foo
that
Fighters.
Sound, I like that sound. I like that rock sound. And they did that cover album of Bee Gees songs over the pandemic, and it's fun. And he played Grohl played a couple Bee Gees songs, and it's like it's fun.
They're
as
an amazing
hell.
Band.
They are
they're
Castle,
an amazing live band.
Trafalgar, like, Horizon, like, it's amazing. They're, like, how many records they put out before they became a disco band.
It's just like, and I think all, like, what you're saying is, like, they, you know, when you play, like, I don't know, when you play this stuff where you have a second away from it, obviously ABBA has made a giant comeback. We're talking about,
God,
like,
huge.
Disco and stuff like that. And, but this, like, kind of, it's an interesting thing that, like, classic rock, like, that's what the music of the 70s and early 80s is, like, the thing that has we sent up to space for the most part is classic rock.
It's going
to
be classic
and everything
rock.
Everything else is, like, you know, and like you said, and it's still kind of building. It's like, well, that's classic rock and that's classic rock.
Right.
And it's just kind of like pop rock. I mean, a lot of it is like, I mean, you know, that's
It's a thing I think about a lot in terms of just like how long will classic rock radio last?
Right.
Because like these generations, I mean, of course, there's like a lot of kids that are loving it.
When will our podcast not make any sense whatsoever?
That's current, Jeff. We're currently there. But like, you know,
well, you're
the
not
boomers
there because
are dying off and stuff.
But as long as people are listening to radio,
yeah.
Yes,
it will exist, right? Yeah. And so at a certain point, it might go away. But I also do believe, like, you see it, Lynyrd Skynyrd cruises and Kid Rock cruises.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's still an audience. And, like, I bet you Kid Rock probably has a song on classic rock stations, too.
Oh,
you know,
does.
It's like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, it's classic rock is like now a catch-all. So mm-hmm. It basically is like, I think, here's my big statement of the show that's going to really come back
it.
When
do
all
it.
The forums.
Oh, this is going to be on AV Club.
I think that classic rock is the rock that you listen to when you were in your 20s and teens. And so as we keep on getting older, you just keep on adding on to the pile, right?
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, oh, when I was in high school, I listened to Kid Rock. Now that's classic rock because that was rock when I was. And then you get grandfathered in like the great Led Zeppelin songs or the Who songs. Mm-hmm. And it just becomes like a great, it's Jack FM. It just becomes like.
Yes.
And so like it
it's
will never
SNL
die.
It's the SNL season when you were in high school.
That's exactly what it is. 100%.
And it will, so it continues to replenish itself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the only difference is that Black Sabbath, or I mean, which is, you know, whatever, or like, you know, Motley Crue, they just have been around a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So it's like, it feels like, oh, are people dying out? It's like, yeah, but like every fourth song is that, and then there'll be a Motley Crue song in there probably, or there'll be a whatever, you know. It's
Foo
like,
Fighters, and then
yeah,
like,
I've heard
Gin Blossoms on a classic rock station before.
Oh my gosh, Runaway Train is definitely playing on
Soul Asylum,
yeah.
100%.
You
I
know,
mean, when Billie Eilish didn't know who Van Halen was, I was like, yeah, of course. That I'm not surprised. Why are we making this into a thing? Like, well, just because, like, it's like how old the, you know, she is at that. But there, it's like, it's not her SNL cast, per se. It's like in my punk and like metal world I came from, like, kids 20 years younger than me will be like some band that I'm like, oh, that was way past my prime. They're like, that was my high school band. That's my classic band, etc. And I'm like, oh, I have no relationship with them.
Well, and I think that I've noticed that when I was a kid or when I was in high school, everyone was into the Doors. That was our going backwards.
Yes, 100%.
Right? Yeah. And then now I've noticed that people like recently in high school, they're going to Nirvana.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Nirvana was my contemporary. The Doors were like my dad and mom's music, even though that's not their music. But like, you know, in that age,
my dad was at the concert when he pulled his dick out. Then he got interviewed by the news when the Oliver Stone movie came out.
Holy shit. But like that. But like, you know what I'm saying? It's like it's weird how like what like those defining bands become bigger, you know. And and it's I got to say, I saw that Foo Fighters concert and you look around and you're like, oh, here are some old people and there are some young people, but it's primarily old people. And there was something, I was going to say this about Billie Eilish. Everything changed for me when I, okay, this is, I'm going to, I had to back up this joke. Okay. it's not even a joke. It's
okay.
So when I was a kid, I had Billy Crystal's stand-up album.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Called, like, You Look Marvelous.
Yes.
Or Marvelous.
Yep. Yeah.
And on it, he was talking about raising his daughter, and he's talking about, like, showing his daughter music, and his daughter says, oh, my God, Paul McCartney was in a band before Wings? Right? So that's the, and I never really, I didn't even really understand that joke, because I didn't know Wings, and I wasn't even, like, the biggest, like, Beatles fan at that point. Right?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, but I understand something about that. Then, when Paul McCartney played with Kanye West, the Grammys, a handful of years ago, probably 8 years ago, or everyone on Twitter, or a majority of people on Twitter, are like, I love that Kanye gives all these artists a chance to like get out there. Like, wow, cool. Kanye's introducing us to this like older guy who's really talented.
Like he's a hermit that doesn't do any shows or anything like that.
Like
whatsoever.
It could have been like, you know, Kanye found the golden throated, houseless person.
Yeah.
And he's like, come up on stage with me at the Grammys. You know, it's like, oh God, I hope this guy, Paul McCartney, gets an album deal off of this, you know? And it's like, it's amazing because I think my generation or my time, and even still now, and I don't mean to sound like an old person, but I look back and I wanted to look back. And I look back now more as an older person than I did even as a younger person, because it's like, oh, what I eliminated from my lexicon of like 70s movies, I thought they were boring when I was a kid. Like, I don't want to watch Taxi Driver. I don't want to. Now I'm like, oh, I love this and this is really great, you know? And it's interesting, like, there's so much content that people don't go backwards a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and even like, we were talking about this the other day on Unspooled, like, I was like, oh, Magic Mike is over a decade old.
Right.
Like, my God. To some people, they're like, oh, I just saw, or this is a new movie to them. They don't even know. Like, that's an old movie. Like,
my niece told me that on Netflix, she's been starting to watch some older movies. And I was like, I sighed. I was like, what is it going to be? And it was Donnie Darko. And I was like, oh, like a classic. But like, it is a hard conundrum because it's like you get older because like we're around the same age. And yeah. I didn't want to, you don't want to become the old guy. But I always looked back as well. Like, and like, I remember like always I'd get so frustrated teaching sketch at UCB.
Right.
And I'd have like a younger student who's like, well, I mean, I'm 22. How am I supposed to know that? And I was like, because right. that's partly your job as like a right. writer is to know. Yeah. The lexicon, you don't have to know everything, but I was like, I watched movies and listened to records before I was born. Like, I don't right. know what to tell you.
Well, I think that this is the thing. It's like, and I think that idea of being like, I consider myself, you know, my pop culture knowledge is something that I like, and I don't try to keep up. It's just my own interest. I like
right.
knowing about stuff. So I know, you know, I know enough about Scream 6 as much as I know about Scream 1, you know, and I'm not, you know, but I think part of being a comedian, part of being a writer, part of being anyone who creates is just to stay up on it. Right.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, if everyone's talking about Three Busy Debras, I'm watching Three Busy Debras.
Right, right.
I mean, and you know, it's like, or if everyone's watching Atlanta, like it's like not to get caught in, well, I don't get it. You
right,
know, that's
right.
not, that's not funny to me.
You just want to experience it and know what it is.
Well, and I do also think it's like, you cut yourself off. Like,
yeah.
Like I know when people go like, and again, I'm not here to defend Larry the Cable Guy, but I will.
Oh, no, that's, and we're very pro Larry the Cable Guy show here. This yeah. is a safe space for Larry heads.
Pro LTCG.
But, you know, it's like, to me, it's like my whole thought is it's like, if it's working
right.
with a large group of people, it's working.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I think that like, you know, and to cut anything off and be like, well, that's not for me. It's like, I don't know. And I think we're in a weird zone, and this is not me talking about like woke culture at all, but
right,
it's like
right.
when Jeff Foxworthy, and these are not my comedians. These
yeah,
are
yeah.
people that I don't go see.
These
seek
are your
out.
Favorite guys, basically.
These are my
these
favorite
are,
guys.
These are your guys that you're naming here.
But when you go in like, and you see like people start to dissect like, oh, like this Larry the Cable Guy joke is so this, or no, it was oh, I'm sorry, I just said his name and I forgot. Jeff Foxworthy.
Yeah,
he made
yeah.
a joke about giving everybody second, but everybody gets a trophy or whatever it was, right?
I remember and it was, that one.
And, yeah. and my whole thing about that was, it's like a bar joke.
Yeah.
It's not a good joke.
No.
But it's not a joke to be mad at, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not a joke. Like, and I don't think that like we should be treating anything like that, but it's weird because now everything is going through a lens where it's like, well, I don't watch it. It's tricky because it's like, I think... Sometimes they're just the jokes. Sometimes they're bad jokes. Some, you know, and if something is actively pushing an agenda that I think is, there's a difference
yes.
between a bad joke and a bad point of view.
Yes.
And I think it's hard to draw a line between those two things. And sometimes
yeah.
it can be both, but sometimes they're just a bad joke. And there's nothing more. It's just like Jeff Foxworthy does like jokes.
Yeah.
They're like
mm-hmm.
joke jokes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know.
It's
so anyway,
hard when like I do another podcast called The Canon Canon, and we only talk about canon films and like the entire
right.
canon
oh,
film
love.
Group.
Yeah, yeah.
But like part of it is the concept of like, well, you can't, it's taking umbrage with just like, oh, it's just a genre and exploitation film. And it's just like, well, no, to me, it's a representation of what exactly is going on in that time. And like the Death Wish series is huge. So, like,
yeah.
whether you like it or not, and I personally love them, and they are problematic all at the same time because I'm an adult and that's how I can see the world sometimes. But if people are very into them and it's like 1984, you start to want to go through, well, what was going on? Like, that, this is the thing that is going on that people love it enough to gravitate towards this. Why are there three missing in action movies? This obsession with like Vietnam and POW, like all these various things. And what does that mean for? And it's the same as like people in a very, like, I don't watch all of them anymore either, but like, to pull the old man move of just like, ah, Marvel movies are just for kids. It's just like...
I agree, yes.
They,
yes.
But they are making billions of dollars, so they are representative of whatever the culture is right now. So it's interesting, at least in that aspect.
And I got to say, like, and this is the thing, and it really does go back to, there's like three things at play, which is, you can't wholesale discount anything, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, if it works, it works. There are great Marvel movies that I love. Mm-hmm. There are Marvel movies that I don't like as much. Yeah. But on a whole, I really enjoy them. Same thing with Star Wars. It's like, I loved Andor. I'm watching Mandalorian. I'm all in. I have my issues with a good handful of Star Wars stuff as well.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, I don't discount anything. And we were talking about this again on Unspooled. Like, I never watched Magic Mike. And the reason why I never watched Magic Mike was because I was like, oh, that's not for me. That's like a movie that women go see to see dudes. And I fucking love Magic Mike. And it's, I love so Magic good. Mike XXL even more.
I love it more, I mean, because that's, they go to Myrtle Beach.
Fast and the Furious for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, and I'll say a weird connection. I actually saw, I think, Fast and Furious 5 with you, but we weren't sitting together.
Oh my gosh.
Because I was in town. I was not living in LA, and me and Gil, Emily Strawn, yeah. Emily Ozeri, were doing a show at UCB, our show we wrote. And then came over because Gil was like, I got his tickets for Fast Five.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
And
that's,
we walked in from UCB sweating because we had done this dumb fucking Mighty Boosh style show. And then, like, I was like, I don't know anything about the Fast and Furious movies.
That's the best one to get in on.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God, people are invested in this. And now I am, too.
Oh, and by the way, it seems like Fast 10 is all about Fast Five.
I mean, this is exciting.
Oh, my God.
Which is also crazy. Just on a side note, I watched Police Story, Jackie Chan, the other day for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, did they just take that favela scene from the beginning of Police Story? Yes.
It's so crazy. It's so nuts. And that's the thing. It's like, I just feel like cutting yourself off from anything is bad. I think, but also being able to look at it with a critical eye is good, right? And it's sort of like this debate of, if you show something that is problematic, or you talk about something that has problematic things, like, you can address that. And also then, but also there, it's not, again, it's like not throwing out the baby with the bathwater. It's like, okay, well, but there are some things in here. Like Death Wish, you're right, problematic, but really interesting. And it still works because John Wick and Taken are essentially,
it's the same thing.
Updated Death Wish. Yeah. Different things are happening. So I think it's always an interesting conversation. And I think it's sort of, I think that sometimes you can knock things out because you view it as not for yourself.
Right.
You can knock things out because it does have an overtly problematic element to it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could just, be higher than it. And just because I also think it's like, it's amazing to watch people do something. I don't know. I just get, I'm always constantly impressed by, I get excited watching new stuff. I get excited seeing stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's like, it's really, I don't know. I think, and I also feel like all the people I admire are people who are always like game to fuck around and play and try new things.
I love that feel. I know that feeling you're talking about when you're seeing something for the first time and it's like, God damn it, this was made for me.
Yeah.
I'm all in. Like, I was that way with like BBC Ghosts.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, holy shit, I got to watch all of this. I don't think there's ever been a show that's been made for me like this.
I mean, that's the hard part. It is also why you want to like go back as well. Because it's like, I didn't know about Dario Argento until I graduated college, I think. And then it became my entire life. Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. Like, that was
oh, my God.
What a late game life changer. Like, in a lot of ways.
I mean, it's so amazing. And it's also like, to me, it's also like you get to see something like Natalie Palmides, who does that Nate show. Did you see that?
I saw Nate right before the pandemic hit. I saw it at what used to be UCB Chelsea, which was an improv asylum for a little bit.
Okay,
what a show.
And that was like, what a fucking show. And it's like, but that stuff excites me. It's like, and you got to find that. And it's maybe, I don't know if that's something I would have not, that I wouldn't have, it may not have been something I would have sought out if I didn't hear about it from friends. That's why I feel like it's good to talk about, like, what are we watching? What do we like?
Yeah.
Like, share the stuff, elevate people's voices, and also open yourself up to stuff. Because I also feel like, as a director, as a writer, as anything, you get inspired. Maybe the people who made Fast and Furious 5 stole from Police Story. They probably did. And the more and more we go back on Unspooled and watch shit, I'm like, oh, wait, I thought that was originated in the thing that I originally liked. It's clearly stolen from here.
Yeah.
Like, it's always like that.
I think the moral of the story is just go back and listen to those Earth, Wind, and Fire records.
That is truly what it all boils down to.
Just get back to Earth, Wind, and Fire.
But it's like, break the chain a little bit.
Yes.
And
Fleetwood Mac said.
Yeah.
Exactly, man.
Oh, Paul, you've got so much going on. You've got so many. I truly think, and I don't know, I'm not, don't let Tom ever hear this.
Oh, no. No, I think
you're the hardest working man in podcasting.
You know, I don't want to take anything away from Tom Sherman. Get a beautiful studio. I want that studio. I love that studio. It looks amazing.
Have you been sitting around envying studios lately? Like, I do.
Yeah. I love the HeadGum studio. I know. I got, like, he always says come up, and then I'm like, oh, I know. I have to, like, follow through on that. It's not like I want to, and then I see it. I'm like, oh, I just got to text him.
You gotta come whenever you want. You'll just, and if it's not like pre-scheduled, you can just be a surprise guest. We'd love to have you whenever.
I love when Jason tells me a musician's coming on and I should come down to, and I say I won't be there.
Yes, that is the first thing he'll say.
I love it.
Hardest working man in podcast with how did this get made? Unspooled.
Yeah,
my God, dude. And then you do your Twitch channel.
I got that. I got some stuff. You know, but here's the thing. It's because it's great. We all know what it is to work on like real things and how that can come and go, or 100%. How there is a lot of time in between there. So it's like, for me, it's sort of like you got to just always be doing your own stuff.
Yeah.
Taking more, you know, like we just shot this great pilot with Marta Kaufman, June, and I. It's an improvised multicam over at CBS, and that's super fun. And then that was, you know, for a month of hard work, and now it's passed to the next level, and then we'll hear what's going on there, and then we'll see what the next step is. But to me, it's like, I think the UCB taught me that idea of don't wait around for something to happen. Just keep on making your own stuff. And the fact that we could go do the Twitch show every week, it's just fun. It's just fun. It's loose, whatever. It's disposable, and I'm happy with it. Like, that's all I want.
Yep.
And that's, perform and do all that stuff.
And that's twitch.tv/friendzone.
Yes, yes.
And then you have a book coming out?
I have a book. Well, I will eventually be having a book coming out. I am in the middle of writing it, and that's been a really fun process over the pandemic. I just was like, I want to try to do this.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I felt an urge to do it, and I wanted to do it the right way. So I made myself write about 5 essays, and then I went out and found an agent, a literary agent that I liked, and he helped me kind of craft it a little bit more. And then I went out and pitched with about 110 pages written, because the last thing I wanted to do was sell a book and then have nothing and then be like, I think a lot of people like are like, I'm gonna write a book. You know, and it's like, it's hard work. And so now, you know, so I was happy to have 100 pages ready to go, and then I've just written another 100 pages in Microsoft Word, so we'll see. And then, you know, all these things will get merged and trimmed and everything, but I have to hand it in. I think my first cut is due in like May. So amazing. I have a couple, you know, I have a couple more pieces I want to write. It's also emotionally taxing. Like I'm kind of keeping my book primarily focused. Like, it's going to lightly touch on some adult stuff, but I'm really kind of keeping it more in a really up to college, and then it will kind of jump ahead to like some parenting stuff. Not parenthood, not like a Paul Reiser book. You know, but more just like kind of like where we are now. Yeah.
But it'll be like Parenthood, the TV series, but
it'll
not
be
the
more
movie.
Like the TV series.
Exactly.
Oh, Paul, well, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
It's pleasure.
So much fucking fun having you on. We gotta have him back. We gotta know what's happening.
I love this premise. It's such a great show, and thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Hey, you can get more Hawk at 1089thehawk.com. Of course, we have announced our Patreon that does launch on May 1st. You're going to get a ton of different shows from that are being announced here and there as we get up to May 1st. Also, Apple Podcasts, what do they do, Jeff?
People, you got to give them 5-star reviews. You can do that Spotify too. If you're given less than 5 stars, what are you doing with your life? Find something better to do. But if you do give that 5-star review, let us know what classic rock song was ruined by classic rock radio, and also let me know. I really like this, Jeff.
A lot of foxy ladies. We have seen a lot of foxy ladies in there.
Yeah, Jimmy's up there.
Ruined. I don't know if I believe that.
Well, but we'll talk about that on our future Hawk Rock Talk on Jimi Hendrix on our Patreon.
All right. Well, thank you so much. More Hawk coming next week. And we'll see you then on 108.9 The Hawk.